Begin the current Daf Masechtas Megillah Daf Chavav. Begin in the bottom of Chafei Mebeis, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud. We begin the fourth Perek of Masechtas Megillah, Perek B'nei Ha'ir, which discusses a related discussion with the previous Perek, which parenthetically from the laws of Kriyas Megillah, we get into the laws of reading from a Sefer Torah, and our Perek continues on halachas relating to the Kriyas HaTorah and also the laws of a Sefer Torah and also related laws as they relate to the Tzibur, which was also discussed in the previous parak regarding the laws of Tefillah B'Tzibur and regarding Kriyas HaTorah. So that, we begin with the Mishnah, that B'nei Ha'ir, people from this city, Shemachru Rechei V'Shalir, they sold the town square, which, as the Gemara is going to explain, has a sanctity since ultimately they do pray over there in the town square on public fast and by Mamadis, which we'll explain the Gemara what that is. So when they sell that, loikhim bedam of Beis HaKnesses. So they, as we'll explain, they have to upgrade in the sanctity of the element. So the monetary proceeds of selling town square, they have to buy a shul with that. Beis HaKnesses, if they sell a synagogue or shul, loikhim teva, they have to take something more sanctified, which is either an Aron Kodesh or the bima where Kriyas HaTorah is done on. Teva, if they sell the Aron Kodesh, loikhim mitpeches, then they take something even closer to the element of what the sanctity is. They take a mantle, a covering for the Sefer Torah. Mitpachais, if they sell the mantle, as a ketintam of Chavav Meralf, so yikru svarm. They have to buy svarm itself of Tanakh, which is Nevim and Ksuvim, the prophets and the writings. Svarm, if they sell those books, which was made as scrolls in Talmudic times, loikhin Torah, they have to buy a Sefer Torah, which we went higher and higher and higher until you get up to a Sefer Torah. But as the Sefer, the Mishnah says, but if they're selling a Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to buy Nevim and Ksuvim, which is a downgrade. Svarim, if you're selling Svarim of Nevim and Ksuvim, you can't buy mantles for the Svarim. Mitpachais, mantles, if you're selling that, you can't buy an ark. Teva, if you're selling an ark, you're not allowed to buy a shul from it. And Beis HaKnesses, if you're selling a shul, you're not allowed to use those proceeds to buy a town square. Because this is all based on the concept of what's called Ma'ilim B'Kodesh V'Lim Ridim. In areas of sanctity, which what we're discussing, of Kedusha, you have to upgrade and you can't downgrade. How we know this is because Ma'ilim B'Kodesh, like it says the Pasuk in Shema Yisrael, says, V'yoka Moshe HaMishkan, Moshe erected the Mishkan. Now, Betzal was the one that made it, but Moshe, who was greater than him, he erected it because you have to be Ma'ilim B'Kodesh. And also we know that Ein Meridim, you don't go down, because it says in Bamidbar Yedzayin, regarding by Das Kairach, that they were claiming that they could also do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So Hashem said that the pans of these sinners who caused themselves to die, that they had these pans that they brought Keteris, and they all died. So Hashem said that they should make these into things that should plate the Mizbeach, because like the Pasuk says, Ki krivim lefnei Hashem, ve'yigadashu, which means to say, although they didn't sin, but once it was sanctified, it retains its sanctity, and therefore had to be used in Milu the Kedusha, because you cannot be married something from its Kedusha. And concludes the Mishnah, V'chein b'Meisrei, the same thing is also the remnants. Meaning if, let's say, they sold Svarim, and they used from partial the proceeds, like we said, you have to upgrade, and they bought a Sefer Torah with it, but they have some leftover money, you can't even use the leftover monies for something that has a lesser Kedusha. Now, the opening of the Halacha, which the title of the Perek, is says, B'nei Ha'ir. So we said, the people of the city, Shemach Rechei V'Shalei, the opening case was, if they sell a town square. So we said that it has some sanctity, as we're going to explain. So therefore, you have to upgrade with the proceeds what you're using the money for to buy a shul. Now, on that halacha, Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Bichna, says, Zu divrei Reb Menachem b'Reb Yisi stimta. That, the halacha of a Mishnah is going like the opinion of Reb Menachem b'Reb Yisi, the anonymous opinion, which is actually explicitly brought into Tosefta Megillah, that he's the one who said this halacha of a Mishnah. He holds this halacha. But the sages disagree. They say the town square doesn't have any sanctity, and therefore it's not held to the standards of having to use its proceeds for something more sanctified, like a Beis HaKnesses. So the Gemara actually asks, Reb Menachem, Reb Yisi, my time, what's his reason? What's the sanctity of a town square? It's not a shul, it's just a town square. Says the Gemara, since the people pray in the town square by public fast and by mamadis. Now, as we find the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis, and the Tezvav Merav says that if certain days had passed and the Jewish people were still not answered with having rain and being resolved from a difficulty, so they bring the ark out into the town square, and that's where they pray. So since it has some sanctity of prayer, therefore it does have, it's the lowest one, but it has some sanctity, therefore being held to the halachas of Dvam Shebekdusha. Now, however, regarding the second thing the Gemara mentions about Mamadis, So what the concept of Mamadis is that the Mishnah elsewhere explains, what they would do is that the Jewish people are, so to speak, the owners of the Karban Tamid, and the owners of the Karban Tamid have to be there. So the Jews that live nearby to the Beis HaMikdash, they would stand there, and they would make 24 groups of Yisraelim, just like they had 24 groups of Kahanim, and they would stand there. But those who were far away, what did they do? So they would stay in their cities, but they would be part of these groups, and they would read from Maisa Bereishis, as we have in the previous daf, on Sunday regarding Sunday, Monday, and so on and so forth. Now, Gemara over there brings a Bereisa that the people of the Maimed, of that group, they would go into the Beis HaKnesses, and they would fast 4 days out of the week. So therefore, Rashi has a difficulty. Why is our Gemara saying that the Mamadus they would do in the town square when it's obvious it was in the shul? So Rashi says that maybe what this shul was, it was a shul actually that was there in the town square. And all the people of the Maimed would gather over there, as we learned in the Mishnah Bikurim, that says that all the cities that had a Maimed, so they would gather to the city of the Maimed, which some explain means to say that the city of the one that's in charge of the Maimed, and then they would sleep in the town square. They wouldn't go to their houses. They would sleep over there. And the one in charge would say, everyone get up. We have to pray to Hashem, our God, which comes to teach that they gathered in this town square, and that's where the shul was. So therefore, that's what the Gemara means. But Rashi says that's still difficult because ultimately that was very temporary. Because this Maimed, since there are 24 groups, you would only have like twice a year. How would that give the town square a sanctity? So therefore, he actually brings from the students of Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi that not to have the Girsa B'Mamadis, because ultimately they didn't really have any prayers besides maybe twice a year in the town square. So therefore, it would only be because regarding of Tainiyos, the fast, which was more of a common theme. It wasn't all the time, it was more common. Therefore, that's why Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yisi holds that there was a sanctity of the town square. But Rabban, who we just quoted before, that they disagree with this halacha of our Mishnah, Hahua Kori Ba'alma, they hold that still it's not a constant, steady thing. So therefore, it's not like a shul or a sefer Torah, something that has a real constant sanctity. Therefore, they held that that won't be held to these laws of our Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah continued. It says, let's say Beis HaKnesses, where here everyone agrees, obviously, a shul has a sanctity. So if you sell that, lechem teva, you have to upgrade that sanctity, and now use the proceeds to purchase a teva, an ark. Now, Amar Shmuel bar Nachmeni Amar B'Yenison, he qualifies this halacha, and he says, Loishanu, we didn't learn that you could sell a shul, ela beis haknesses shel kfar, only if it's a shul from villages, from a village, of a beis haknesses shel krachin, but regarding a shul of a city, kivin de ma'alma asle, since people come from all over to the city, to the shul, because ultimately it's owned by the public of all the people who come there, and they're the owners, and therefore the people from that city are not the only owners to be able to sell it. And you have people from all over, and they're not necessarily agreeing to it, therefore you can't sell the shul. Now, however, Amar Vashi, he says, an exception to this would be, he says, the shul of Masa Machasya, avogav de ma'ama asala, although people come from all over to that shul, but kivin da daiti didika, so why do they come to the shul? Is because of me. So ibein, if I wanted to, mizavninla, I could sell it because it is considered like I'm the owner because it's about me, and therefore, although it's an urban shul, it would be allowed to be sold. Now, basically, however, the Gemara asked on this primary halacha of Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmeni Amr B'Yenison that you can't sell a shul of a city from the following braisa. Amr Bihudi says, Maisa beveis haknesses shel torsim. There was an incident with the shul of the coppersmiths, Shahayi b'Yerushalayim, which they had a shul in Yerushalayim, Shemachru l'Rabbi Eliezer, they sold their shul to Rabbi Eliezer, Vasa b'Katzarchav, and he did whatever he wanted in over there, meaning it was sold to him, it's not a shul anymore, so he did whatever he needed over there. But one thing is, you see that they sold it. Now, Vahasim d'Karachem Hava, Yerushalayim is a city, it's where people come from all over. How did they sell a shul? Didn't you just say halacha that you could only sell in the village and not in the city? Says Gemara, no, hahi beknisht zutihav. That was a small, like you would call a shtibel, a small shul. The inu avdu, and they made it, and therefore it wasn't that people came from all over to that shul. So therefore they were allowed to sell it. But a regular shul in a city where people come from all over, you're right, would not be able to be sold. However, the Gemara continues asking Mesavir from the following price. Pasuk says, Hashem says, when you're going to come to Eretz Canaan that I'm going to give you as an inheritance, and if I'm going to place a nega of tzaras, the vase eretz achuzaschem, in the house of the land of your ancestry, so there's going to be certain halachas of a negat saras, as it is, of affliction in the house. But one thing says the Tanakama, achuzaschem etame benegayim, it's talking about a house in the land of your inheritance. So achuzaschem etame benegayim, only a house that land from land that you inheritance, that such a house would become tame from a negat. But Ve'en Yerushalayim are tamei ben negayim. But a house in Yerushalayim will not become tamei from a negev tzaras because Yerushalayim is not called an achuza. As the Gemara is going to explain later on, this Tana holds that Yerushalayim was not actually divided amongst the tribes. It belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. So it's not, although right by Yerushalayim, as we find by the base area of the Beis Hamikdash, Yehudim and Yamin were those who it was their tribe's area. But Yerushalayim itself is universal. It's not owned by any single tribe, so it's not an achuzah for any person. So therefore, a house over there does not have a tumah of neged tzaras. Now, Amar Bihudi says, "Ani lo shamati." He says, "I didn't hear that there shouldn't be a tumah on an exception to a house elamakam mikdash bolvad, only the place of the Beis Hamikdash itself, because since the Beis Hamikdash is a sanctified house." So the thing is, by Negayim, the Pasuk says in Vayikra Yadal, Uva Asher Loi Habayis, that the one who comes, that it's his house, that's what you need to have. But something that which is Hekdish is, like the Beis Hamikdash, so that will be an exception. That is not going to be a Nega, the laws of Tumah of Nega. But Yerushalayim, he holds, a house would become Tumah with a Nega, because he holds that Yerushalayim was subdivided amongst the tribes. And therefore it does qualify for the Pasuk of Achuzaschem. But one thing we see that according to Behuda, that he holds that Yerushalayim was divided amongst the tribes. The only exception he says that's not going to have halacha of tumah of neged tzaras is only the makam hamikdash, the temple itself. Now, habata kenesis uvata midrashes, but the shuls and the base medrashes that are in Yerushalayim is going to be like all of the other houses in Yerushalayim, that metamen, that there it would have a tumah of neged tzaras. Says Gemara Amai, had the krach and have, but Yerushalayim is a city, and therefore that you said is not owned by any single person. It's owned by everyone who comes from all over. That's why you said that you can't sell it. So if that's the case, so it's not an achuz, it's not owned by one person, so therefore, why does it have a tumah of neged tzaras? It shouldn't be considered achuz aschem. Says the Gemara, Emi, yeah, you're right. What you should, the girsa should be, Amar Bihuda, he says, Ani lo shamati, he says, I didn't hear that a house won't have a tumah of neged tzaras, not only the makam mikdash, el makam mekudish bovad. Only a sanctified place, which that includes shuls and a beis medrash. And you're right, those are exceptions to the rule, as we're saying, because it has the same halacha as the what was said by a krach, that it's not considered achuz aschem because, yeah, it's not owned by any single person. It's owned by everyone who comes from all over. Says the Gemara b'mai kemiflekin. So what is actually this machlekes between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda? And we answered the question that we asked from the Braisa, which we thought it would be difficult for the halacha of Reb Shmuel, which we said that's not, because, no, he actually agrees that a shul is not going to have a tumah of neged tzaras, even by Rabbi Yehuda, because it's not Eretz Achuz Aschem, because he says, makam mekudesh bavad. But now the Gemara wants to know, how do we understand the Braisa itself? But Mike and Mifli, what are they disagreeing about? So as we already alluded to, the Gemara says, Tanna Kamma Sava, Lo Nischal Kol Yerushalayim L'Shvatim. Yerushalayim was not divided amongst the tribes. So therefore, it doesn't qualify any house in Yerushalayim. It does not qualify as Achuz Aschem. It's not owned by really any one person. And therefore, it's not going to have a Tumah of Neged Tzaras. For Behuda Sava, Nischal Kol Yerushalayim L'Shvatim, he holds, no, Yerushalayim was divided amongst the tribes. Hence, a regular house would have a Tumah of Neged Tzaras. But a makam kodesh, like a shul, that we said, since it's a krach, people come from all over, so that's not owned by any single person. You're right, there, like we said, by the halacha of Reb Shmuel, is not going to have a tumah of neged tzaras. But says the Gemara, "Ubeplukt d'tani tanoi," and we find this machlekes that we're explaining for Tanna Kamma Behuda, if Yerushalayim was subdivided amongst the tribes or not, as we find two different braises indicating if it was divided or wasn't. The Tanna like learned the braise, which first shows the opinion of Reb Behuda that Yerushalayim was divided amongst the tribes. Which, even in Yerushalayim itself, more to the center of the world, by the Harabayas and so on, we find even that was divided amongst the tribes, for sure Yerushalayim also. The time like Linda Braisa. Mahaya Bechelka Shal Yehuda, what was in the portion of Yehuda? Who, he was right there in the Yehuda Minyamin, were the two tribes that were by the area of Yerushalayim. So, Harabayas, the Temple Mount, which, although that includes the whole mountain, but we mean to say, like, coming into the Temple Mount from the east, which is where you enter from, which is, was an open area, that's what we mean when we say the Harabayas, because that has no other name to it. But then there's areas in the Temple Mount, which we're going to see which is Yehuda, which is Binyamin. But the Temple Mount, which is the open space on the east, Halashachis, the chambers, which is a little bit further west, which is in the area known as the Chel, which is the beginning, the part of the sanctified part of the Azara, the Beis HaMikdash. And then you have Vazaris, which is, there's three Azaris, there was three courtyards. The outermost coming from the east was the Ezes Nashim, which was the largest open area of the Azaris. Then you have the Ezes Yisrael, which was an area of 11 Amma, where a Yisrael was allowed to go in within the gate, and then further towards the west was the Ezer's Kayanim, which was also 11 Amos, which a regular Yisrael was not allowed to go near the outer Mizbeach. Those three Azaris were in the Chelik of Shevet Yehuda. Now, Mahayu Bechelke Shel Binyamin, starting from the west, what was in the portion of Binyamin, meaning further west, which we're not discussing the area between them yet, was Ulam, the antechamber of the actual temple sanctuary, Behechel, and then the sanctuary itself, Ubeis Kachi, which was the innermost part of the sanctuary, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is all from the western part. Now, there is an area in between that we didn't discuss, between the area of Yehuda and Binyamin, which was the place of the Mizbeach, which was 32 Amos. And then you have between the antechamber and the Mizbeach was 22 Amos, which we didn't explain who's that. Now the Braisa goes to explain that now there was a strip of land that went out from the portion of Yehuda, which we said went up till the Ezra's Kayhanim, went into the portion of Binyamin. And it was on that strip that the altar was built on, which we're coming to tell you that now it's on that strip alone that belonged to Yehuda. But actually, the northern part of Mizbeach and the south and the west, that all belonged to Binyamin, which actually the Gemara Zavachmach explains that this strip that we're talking about that Yehuda had was actually only on the eastern part, which was the place of where the Yesod, the foundation of the Mizbeach, would be. And actually, that's why there was no Yesod on the eastern part, because actually none of the structure was actually built in the strip of Yehuda. His strip went to where the Yesod should have been, but we wanted the structure only Binyamin, so actually it doesn't have a Yesod there on the eastern side. Now, however, V'hayi Binyamin HaTzadik, the righteous Binyamin, the son of Yaakov Vinu, he saw with the divine inspiration that it was going to be like that, the structure of the Mizbeach. And Mitztara LeBechol Yom LeBala, and he was in pain every single day to swallow that, say he wanted a full base Mizbeach only in his portion. Shem, like it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu blessed the tribe of Binyamin, says, Chayfif Alav Kalayim. Now, Chayfif is like a terminology that someone's in pain and he's scraping and scratching himself in his garment, like, just like, he can't sit with himself. Where he's like, he's just writhing in pain. He wants to get that thing. Where he wanted here also the Mizbeach to be built in his portion. Therefore, Binyamin merited, and he became a host for the divine presence, meaning the Aron HaKadosh was in his portion in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But one thing we see is that even the Harabayis itself was subdivided amongst the tribes. For sure, more outermost in concentric circles, Yerushalayim, that for sure was subdivided. And therefore, that's like the opinion of the Tanakama, that like that of Rabbi Yehuda, that we find that Yerushalayim was Nischak L'Shvatim. However, says the Gemara of the High Tana, the Tana of the next Braisa, Savaloy Nischak Yerushalayim L'Shvatim, held that Yerushalayim was not divided amongst the tribes, which again was like the Tanakama, which, and therefore that's the Tanoi that we said before, that we find the same Machlekes Tanoim in these two different Braises. The Tana Leglon, the Braisa that says, Emaskirin, the homeowners cannot rent out their batim, their homes, to the Jews who come, Oyle Regal, that make pilgrimages on the Yom Tovim, for the houses be Yerushalayim, because that's right near the Beis Hamikdash, everyone will come up to Yerushalayim. Rather, they have to let them stay there for free, and the other people, the pilgrims, could come in there for free. And says the Tanakama, why? Because it's not theirs, like we're saying, which is like the Tanakama of our previous Braisa, because Yerushalayim was not divided amongst any certain tribes. Yeah, people are living there, but it's not owned by them. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, I mean, he goes even a little further. He says, afloy mitis. They can't even charge for the beds that they're renting. Now, as Taisus brings, the reason is because he holds that since the land, which is the place of where the beds are not owned by the owners, so they don't really have the right to rent out a full rental. But that's why, as the Gemara continues, that since ultimately the bed is a movable item that is owned by them, so the fikach iris kachim, so therefore the karbonas taida and shlamim that that these pilgrims would bring when they were there for oyle regel, which the hides of the animal goes to the owner, so those hides bali yishpiz neitan leis mizraya. So the host, they would forcibly take that because ultimately they are giving them a bed, although they don't own the house and the land, but therefore they took the hides that they brought as karbonas. And again, that's because they hold that Yerushalayim was not l'schak l'shvatim. Now, parenthetically, Amabayi says from what we just said, Shema Mino, what we could infer is Eirich Aro. It's an appropriate custom, Lemishbek Inish Gulfi, that a person should leave over his earthenware jug that he used, or Mashcha and the hide of the animals, if let's say he slaughtered an animal, Bushpiza in his host. Where also we see that these people who were staying ultimately for free at their host, that the hides were taken by the host, because it's an appropriate thing. If they get, if they host you, leave them over the jug that you don't need anymore and the hide of the animal. Now, going back to qualify the halacha of our Mishnah, Amar Rav says, Leishan, we didn't learn that you cannot downgrade the monetary value of the sanctity of the thing that was sold. And moreover, that we said, let's say, by a shul, that if you're selling it, it's still going to retain some sanctity in the hand of the consumer, which is really the same thing as by the svarm. We said that when you sell svarm, that you have to go and buy a sefer Torah, the one who bought the svarm has to still treat it with some sanctity. So therefore, the same thing would be when you're selling a shul to another person, that we said that, okay, ultimately, so you could use the proceeds, but it's got to be upgraded. And not only that, the shul that you sold still has some sanctity. Says Rava, we didn't learn that Elishalei Machu Shiva Toiv Ha'ir B'maimen Anshayir. That's only if the seven trustees of the city didn't sell it in the presence of the people of the city, meaning with the permission of the people of the city. So then you have certain limitations. You're allowed to sell it, so you can't just sell it, but you could sell it. And then what happens is then you have to upgrade the monetary usage and the shul still has some sanctity. Avo Machu Shiva Toiv Ha'ir B'maimen Anshayir. But if, let's say, the shul was sold by the seven trustees of the city, with the consent and the awareness of the people of the city, then actually what happens is that the monies that are gotten now and the object that was sold actually loses all its sanctity, and you're allowed to do with it whatever you want to do. And actually, that's what the Gemara is going to shortly say in the incident that Ravina asked from Ravashi, that he had a pile of rubble where from a shul could even plant over there. But what do you mean, it's a shul? Yeah, but if it's done with the consent of the people, then it actually loses all sanctity. Now, but one thing we see is that that's only b'shivat tayvir. But if it's, let's say, sold in a regular sale, like what the case of our Mishnah is talking about, then the Beis HaMikdash, then the Beis HaKnesses and the monies does retain some sanctity. But that's what Rav is saying. But if it was sold with the seven tayvir, then even as a ketintim and beis, l'mishti b'shichra, even if you want, you could go ahead and use the monies to go and buy beer to drink, shapur dami, that's also going to be okay. Does that take the halacha of the Mishnah and says that that's limited? Halacha of the Mishnah that you could only use it for ma'alim b'kodesh and to use what you sold in its limited sanctity is a regular sale. But b'shivat tayvir, that removes all the sanctity from the monetary proceeds and the thing that was sold. As the Gemara brings the story that Ravina havela hu tila de beknishta. Ravina had a pile of rubble that was once a shul. Whenever you have something that's destroyed, it's called a tel. Like a pasuk in Devarim Yudgimel, b'hoyis a tel oilam. It'll be a pile of rubble forever. So also coming to Ravashi, he came in front of Ravashi. Amalei said to ma'alim mizra. So I have this old shul that's a pile of rubble and it's just land. Could I plant, use it as a plantation? So Malay said to him, Zil Zavni Mishivat Tayvir, go and buy it from the seven trustees of the city, B'maimon Anshir, with the presence of the people of the city, and then bizarre, then you could plant it. Like we said, because once you do that, it removes all sanctity, and then you could use the proceeds, and again, even the former site of the shul, for whatever you want to do. Another related type of story the Gemara brings, that Rami Bar Abba have a Kabani Beit Knishta. He was building a shul. Havahi Knishta Atikin. Now there was an old shul that wasn't used anymore, and have a bayla mystery. He wanted to demolish it. V'lasuya live nebukashur minay, to bring bricks and beams from that old shul, which he needed to go ahead and use to build the new shul. And vayulu lahasim, to bring over there to the new shul. Now, Yosef v'komei bayla, he was sitting and asking regarding Hadra Rav Chizda, regarding the halacha of Rav Chizda, which is brought in Baba Basra and Perek HaShutfin. Dom Rav Chizda said, loyalist to Beit Knishti, not let it demolish a shul, ad the bani Beit Knishti achrit, until you first have a new shul built. So he wanted to know, Hasam Mish Pshiusa, maybe there because it's of negligence, because don't destroy the old shul, because then you might be negligent and give up hope, and you might not build a new one, and then you'll be without a shul. So you have to first have a new shul built, and then you can destroy the old one. But Ki Hai Gavna, in the situation right over here, where the whole point of taking apart this old shul is only to build a new shul, my, where would the halacha be? Maybe over there you'd be permitted to do that. So Asla Kamidrav Papa, V'Asalei says, no, it's forbidden. And the Kamidrav Huna V'Asalei came in front of Huna Yosef, says, forbidden. No, you're not allowed to take apart an old shul, even if you want to use it to build a new shul, until the new shul is built. Now, continuing the theme of our Mishnah, and what we were previously discussing, Amar Rava says, Hai Beit Knishta, this shul, chilufa v'zivun nishari. So as we mentioned, which the halacha of the Mishnah, to swap it or to sell it, so that's permitted. Meaning the sanctity then gets transferred to what you swapped it for or on the monies. So therefore, the shul itself, to a large extent, gets removed from its sanctity to be able to utilize what you want to use it for. I mean, the consumer could use the shul for his purposes. But a guru umashkayna aser, but to rent out a shul or to use it as collateral, that's forbidden. My time, what's the reason? Says the Gemara, because b'kedusha asakai, it still retains the sanctity. When it's sold, so then the sanctity is transferred onto the monies. But if you're just renting it, it's still a shul, or your collateral is still a shul, so then that's not going to help because you can't use it because it still has sanctity. Now, moreover, he says, livni, the bricks of a shul, nami is the same thing. Chalafinu bezevninu shari, to swap it or to sell it is permitted because there's a transference of the sanctity. But a sfinu usher, but to lend out the bricks, that's forbidden because it still has a sanctity. Now, however, he qualifies this as hanemili batikta, but this is only by bricks that were already built in a shul, but let's say it fell out, so it's used from the shul, so then it had sanctity, then it's not being removed. But if, let's say, it's new bricks, which were made for the purpose of using it to build a shul, but it wasn't, then less lamba, then we're not concerned about it. Then you could even actually lend it out because it doesn't have sanctity yet. Now, moreover, says the Gemara of Vilamandama, even according to the one who says, as Burma Sechta Sanedin of Memzainu Beis, regarding someone who weaves a garment for a dead person as burial shrouds, that holds Hazmana Milsehi, preparation is considered something significant, which is, it becomes forbidden just by being prepared as the Tachrichim, as the burial shrouds of a dead person, it already makes it forbidden to have benefit from it. As the Gemara there learns out from Gezer Shavah, Sham Sham from Egla Rufa, as the Gemara explains, which just by being prepared, it's already becomes forbidden. But says the Gemara, even according to that opinion, Hanamili, when would that be talking about? Kugain ha'irig beged lemeisa, when someone wove a garment for a dead person, where it's not lacking anything. Only thing it was lacking was to weave it. So once it's woven, so right away it's already ready to be put onto the dead person. So that's considered already prepared, and that would make it already forbidden to have benefit. Aval hacha, but in the case over here regarding bricks, where it's not just missing putting it in, you have to go ahead and actually build it into the wall. You have to go ahead and cement it in, do whatever it is. And therefore, regarding the bricks of the shul, that actually would be the equivalent of kitavi la'arig dami, like spinning the threads, which is then ready to be woven. V'lek l'mandama, and that no one would hold that that's considered hazmona milsi, that's prepared. It's only if you wove it, if it's woven already, and now it just has to be put on, that's already considered prepared. That would make something forbidden. But here by the bricks, it's like having spun the threads, which then you have to go weave it and then put on the dead person. Well, here you have the bricks, but that's not even hazmona milsi. You'd still have to then cement it into the wall and put it in. So therefore, that according to everyone, would not be forbidden, and you would be able to lend out those bricks to others. Now continues the Gemara, but matana. If let's say the people of the city give a shul as a gift to someone to use for mundane purposes. So what's Allah over there? So pligiba revach ravina. Chad asa v'chad shai. One says it's forbidden to do that, one says it's permitted, as the Gemara says. Manda asa, the one who holds it forbidden, is because what's removing it from its sanctity? By a sale or transfer, it's transferring the sanctity. Like we said, because lending it is forbidden, it still has its sanctity. What's transferring? So here also, a gift, there's no transference, you're just giving it to someone, so it still has a sanctity. Of course, that's going to be forbidden. But Amanda Shari, the one who held that it's permitted, is because ilav dehavale hanomine, if the people of the city didn't have benefit from that person, that's the recipient of the gift, lahavayavale, they wouldn't have given it to him. So essentially, gifting is like selling because there's a transference over here. Whatever favor this person had done to the people of the city, that's why they're gifting him this thing, and therefore there is a transference, and therefore it's essentially like a sale, which does transfer the sanctity, and therefore that is permitted for mundane purposes. Now, continuing on this theme of the halacha of a Mishnah regarding things that retain their sanctity, and therefore, let's say when you're selling it, a shul or sefer Torah or other things, you have to, like we said, ma'ilam b'kaidish and ve'imaridin. So similarly, turn about a brisa, tashmishe mitzvah, things that were utilized for a mitzvah purpose, nizrakan, once the mitzvah is done, you could throw them away. Tashmishe kedusha, things that were utilized for sanctity elements, not just as a mitzvah, but they have kedusha to them, nignazin, so they have to be hidden away when they're finished being used for. As the brisa explains, veilein tashmishe mitzvah, what's considered things that were utilized for a mitzvah purpose? So a sukkah, a lulav, a shayfer, tzitzis. Once they're finished, once then that can't be used anymore, they can be thrown away. Now, ve'elehin tashmisha kedusha, what's considered something that was utilized for a sanctified thing, it's not the thing of kedusha itself, but it was something used for a kedusha thing, is deluskime, is like a type of a container to put in sefarim, which are those scrolls that they use, of Navim Ksuvim, or tefillin, or a mezuzah, or a container for tefillin, a mezuzah, or a tikshal sefer Torah, or a container of a mantle of a sefer Torah, the nar tikshal tefillin, which tik and nartik are the same thing, just a tik is for something that's a long item, like a sefer Torah, and the nartik is for something small, like a tefillin. But we're talking about cases of all these things. And Vertzur is saying, and their straps, although it's not the Davash of Kedusha itself, but they're Tashmisha Kedusha, so when you're done with it, you can't just throw it away. You would have to do Geniza, you would have to go ahead and hide it somewhere, and that would be the way of getting rid of it. Now, Amar Rava, says, Maresha Vimina says, originally I used to say, Hai Kursaya, this bima, the platform of wood, which is used to lay the Sefer Torah in it, Tashmish to Tashmishu. That it's not Tashmisha Kedusha. It's a service of a service. Why? Because on the bima they put a cloth, and then they put the Sefer Torah on that. So therefore, Vashari, you're allowed to use the bima for private uses. It's not even considered Tashmisha Kedusha. But Kivin the Chazina the Meisvi Levei Sefer Torah. But since I saw that at times they would put the Sefer Torah on it without a mapa, without a cloth, Samina Tashmisha Kedusha. So I said that it actually does service the thing of Kedusha of the Sefer Torah itself, and therefore Vasa, therefore it's forbidden to use it for mundane purposes. Similarly, another teaching from V'Amar Rava, he says, Mereisha Avimin, he says, originally I would say that Hai Parisa, this curtain that's put up around the Aron Kodesh in the inside, the Tashmish to Tashmishu, that it's only a service of a service of the Sefer Torah, because it's servicing the Aron, which then the Aron it's servicing the Sefer Torah. But kiven the chazin the aifile, but since I saw that sometimes they would actually fold over the curtain that's inside, not the curtain on the outside Aron Kodesh, that's inside, beneath the Sefer Torah, umanchi sefer levei, and they would put the Sefer Torah on it, samina tashmish kedusha uvasas. I saw that it's not just servicing the ark, which is servicing the Sefer Torah. I saw that sometimes it wasn't on the ark. They actually would fold that curtain beneath the Sefer Torah, so it was actually servicing the Sefer Torah itself. So if I said it's forbidden to use it for mundane purposes. Similarly, V'Amar Rava, he said, Hai Tevusa, the Aron HaKodesh, the ark, the Irfat, which if it got ruined, then it started coming apart. So Mevda Tevezutrasi. So you can make a small ark out of the original big one. And that's Shari, that's going to be permitted. But Kursaya, to go ahead and make a bima out of it, where they leaned from, that's asa, that's forbidden, because that's a downgrade from its sanctity, as the priest can explain, because that's not a constant utilization of a Sefer Torah. The ark is constantly stored over there. Where you lean from is only when the Kriyas Torah is, so therefore that's a downgrade, and that would be forbidden. Similarly, V'Amar Rava, he says, High Priest of the Bala, the curtains of the Aron HaKodesh, which got worn out, so Lemev de Priest of the Sapari Shari, to make it for a container of svarim, that's permitted. But l'chumashim, which the word chumash means a fifth, which they would have their scrolls that sometimes they made, they would separate bereishis, shmois, v'yikra, b'mid, b'dvarim, each one in its own fifth in a scroll, that would be asur, because ultimately that's a downgrade. To use it for a full sefer, that would be permitted, but for only a fifth of the sefer Torah, that's forbidden. Similarly, V'Amar Rava says, hani zavile, which is similar to like a container, the chumashe of chumashim, and the kamtare, which is also like a case of the safari of svarim, tashmish kedusha nindu benignazin. It's considered a service of a sanctified thing, which is what a sefer is. And therefore, if they get worn out, if they get used, you have to go ahead and bury them. Says Gemara Pshita, obviously we know, tashmish kedusha, we said a nignazin. Says Gemara Ma'aditim, what would you say, hani lav l'chavid as avid? In these cases, they're not made for honor. We understand a mantle, a case that's used for the dignity of the Davar Shebekdusha. It takes on a certain element of the sanctity, and therefore it has to be buried. But here, l'natur ba'am avid, it's not made for the honor, it's just to protect it from the elements. So you would think that doesn't give it a sanctity of Tashmish Kedusha. Kamashman, that yes, since ultimately it serves the Davar Shebekdusha, it has the halacha of Tashmish Kedusha and has to be buried. Now the Gemara tells us, Ahu be'knishta, the Yehudi Ramay. There was this shul of Jewish Romans, meaning there were Jewish people that came from Rome to Machaisa, and they settled over there, and they made a shul, that a pasich lahu idreina, that there was a certain room which they would make for a dead person, and it was always there, they would keep the dead person until they would bury the person, that room opened up into the shul, it was off from the shul. Now, there was a dead person there in that room, Now there were kahanim that wanted to come to shul in that shul itself to go ahead and daven, but they couldn't come in because the tuma of the dead person was coming into the shul through the opening of that room into the room of the shul. As the Mishnah teaches Masechet Olos in the third parak, that tuma could come in from one room into another room. So Asra Amalei L'Rava, they came to tell Rava what the quandary was that the kahanim couldn't come to shul. So Amalei L'Hu, he said to them, Delu Teveis, he says, pick up the Aron HaKodesh from its place, and Isvua, put it there to take up the space between those two rooms. Then the Aron HaKodesh is going to be like a wooden vessel that's meant to stay stationary in one place, which the halacha is, a stationary wooden vessel that doesn't move does not contract tuma. And we know that because the halachas of a wooden kli, which is what an Aron Kodesh is, made out of wood, is compared to a sackcloth for the laws of tuma, as the pasuk compares them. It says, v'chol kli eitz oibegur oi sak. Now, what that teaches is just like a sackcloth is meant to be moved, and only then it's mekabel tuma, so to kli eitz, only if it's movable, it's mekabel tuma. Now, since it's not going to be mekabel tuma, so v'chaitz is b'vnei tuma, so it's going to also then interpose from the tuma of that room into the room of the shul, and then the kohen will come into the shul. Whereas anything that is mekabel tuma actually cannot be a chatzitza, cannot separate the tuma from one room to another room. But here, since it's stationary, it's not mekabel tuma, it will be a chatzitza. But Amalei Rabban LaRava, but the rabbi said to Rava, but vazimnin demetadle, but at times they do move the Aron HaKodesh. Ki manach sefer Torah alavei, because at times they would use it like a bima when they would read the sefer Torah on top of the Aron HaKodesh. So v'havalei metadle mali v'regin. So actually, it's not a considered stationary kli. It's actually considered kli that it is moved when it's full and when it's empty, which is actually a kli that is mekabel tuma, and then it cannot be chaitzes from that room to the shul. So to which he said, if that's the case, right after, then it's not a possibility. That's not a good option, and therefore the kohen cannot come into the shul. Now Amar Zutri says, mitbachei svarim, says the cases of svarim, even that of a sefer Torah, shabolo, when it gets worn out, so what do you do with it? So we said it has to be buried. It's tashmishi kedusha. So he says, what you do is eisen eisan tachrichen ames mitzvah. You make burial shrouds for a mes mitzvah, which is a dead person who has no one that could bury him. So what you do is you take that with tashmishi kedusha. You make burial shrouds for that dead person. Vizui genisasen, and that will be the way that you bury it in the ground. Now, Vamarav, he says, sefer Torah shabali, he says, a sefer Torah that gets worn out. When you said you have to bury it, you conceal it by the burial of a Talmudic scholar right next to him. And even if we're talking about a Talmudic scholar that didn't service sages in Shas and Gemara, even if it's only in what's called halachas, he attended to scholars regarding Mishnayos and Brises in the oral tradition, that's enough to be considered Talmud Chacham that you're going to bury a Sefer Torah next to him. Now, Amar Vacha Bar Yaakov, he says, and ube kli cheres, but you put that one out Sefer Torah in the earthenware vessel. Shnei Mekas is a pasuk near me. It says, when the satan be kli cheres, he says, you should put where they wanted to keep documents for a long time. You put it into an earthenware vessel, so that it'll stay for a long time. Here also, we put the one out Sefer Torah in the kli cheres, which is buried next to this Talmud Chacham. Now, related to the halacha of our Mishnah, regarding the sale of a shul, like we said, you have to upgrade it. Now, Amar Rav Papit Mishmei, the gear says, the Rava. Says mebe knishta lebe rabbanan, to make out of a shul into a beis medrash. Beis knesset is where they would gather to daven, and beis medrash is a study hall where they would learn Torah. Shari, that's permitted to be done. Mebe rabbanan lebe knishta also, but to turn a beis medrash into a shul, that's forbidden. Now Rav Papa Mishmei de Rava Masni Yepchei says the exact opposite. He says no, to make a beis medrash into a shul is permitted, but a shul into a beis medrash is forbidden. Now, Amar Vachi says, it's logical, like the first interpretation, that of Rav Papi, that you're allowed to make a shul into a beis medrash, but not a beis medrash into a shul. Because Amar Rishu ben Levi says, beis knesset is mutl asos beis medrash. It's an upgrade to make from a shul into a beis medrash. Shema Menor, obviously we infer that that's permitted, and you're not allowed to make from a beis medrash into a beis knesset.